If you like true crime, dark history, the haunted and paranormal, then we think you'll like Ghost Town.
Ghost Town is hosted by me, Rebecca Lieb.
And me, Jason Horton.
We cover both notorious and obscure true crimes,
the haunted, paranormal, and unexplained,
and the dark history of everything from world events to pop culture.
There are new episodes of Ghost Town every Wednesday and Friday.
Find out for yourself what Vulture.com called essential listening and one listener called a total waste of time.
So pause the podcast you're listening to right now
and go subscribe to Ghost Town for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And at ghosttownpod.com.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
Warning, this episode contains details that some listeners may find disturbing. Imagine this, if you will. You're visiting a town that hasn't had a full-time resident in over 100 years. Some of the abandoned buildings have crumbled into heaps of debris, while others remain standing. And in those buildings is still the original furniture and items from the homeowners who have long since passed. You can reach out and touch these items, touch history, and feel the presence of those who once lived in this place. Then the wind blows, and you hear what sounds like a voice calling your name. This is a common experience in many of America's ghost towns. And in the United States, a large number exist out west due to the booms and busts of the gold rush. Paranormal activity and strange happenings have been reported in a lot of these towns, the supernatural events often attributed to the town's violent history. Tonight, we look at five of the most haunted ghost towns and ask if there is any truth to the paranormal reports. This is a study of strange. I have an earnest obsession with ghost towns. There's an eeriness factor. Some of them are supposedly haunted, which definitely adds to that obsession, but it's more than that. There's a sense of adventure if you're lucky enough to explore them, and they provide a direct, tangible connection to the past, like a living museum. I'm Michael May. That's all I'm going to say about that. I was going to say a little more, Adam, and I was like, no, that's it. So I'm Michael. I'm your host. And today, Adam Stillwell is joining me, a filmmaker who, are you best known as the Free Fall? Is that probably your most popular piece of work?
Probably. That's the last thing I did. That and The Triangle are my directorial films. Yeah.
Nice. And The Triangle's like 2016, 17?
16. Yeah. Yeah. And I just won the rights back. So we're, that will be back out there again soon, but we pulled it all down to, see where we can go with it next.
Well, fantastic. Adam is a fantastic filmmaker and writer and producer. Do you want to tell anybody else about anything about yourself?
I might be, with the help of chats with Michael, getting into the podcast game through audio series world at some point. The movie The Free Fall is actually out on Hulu and Disney Plus if you want to check it out and see how weird my brain actually is.
Yes. Everybody should. In Canada's own, is it Sean Ashmore?
Sean Ashmore, yeah. The handsomest man. Yes.
Yeah, man. His eyes. Yeah. So dreamy.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are. He's a great dude. Great dude. Yep. And on Andrea Londo, who just, she was just on the new Kathy Bates, Matlock.
Yeah. Absolutely. Awesome. So I wanted you on this episode because you briefly mentioned, you were like, ooh, ghost towns. And you mentioned Bannock. Because you're from Montana, is that correct?
I am from Montana, and it's Ghost Town Central. There's all different types of ghost towns up there, but Bannock is the famous one. And yeah, I actually went there on my eighth grade history trip. So
fantastic! Not to spoil anything, but I am going to talk about Bannock today. So I'm excited to have you on. Oh, no, that's not an apology. That's like, I'm glad because I want to discuss these things because I love ghost towns and I've been to quite a handful in California specifically, maybe even one or two in Nevada. I've even been to like abandoned mining sites just out when you're like in BLM land and you're wandering around, or like I've filmed stuff. And you're like, oh my God, this is an old claim. And there's just like mining equipment left and some huts. Yeah. And it's fascinating. It's super eerie. The reason I haven't done a ghost town before on this show is because I like to do a lot of research. They're really hard to research because all the claims of the spooky things are all just like folk tales.
Right.
So luckily today I picked some places that you can find some specific research, not a lot, but some specific research that may make you think about some haunted things, which I love. But yeah, so when we get to Bannock, it'll be really interesting to talk to somebody that's been on the ground. That's really cool.
Yes.
Now, do you believe, you like horror things, obviously. Do you believe in ghosts?
So this is an interesting, that's a very interesting question for me because I have seen UFOs. I have experienced the effects of voodoo. I've wandered the woods enough to know that if Sasquatch was out there and he was going to eat a little kid or anyone, he would have gotten me. But ghosts, I've never seen one. But they scare the shit out of me. I don't know. There's part of me that just feels they must be real. I don't believe anything completely until I see it or experience it.
Right.
But that fear, and I've been to places where I've felt different, but you know, you never know if that's yourself or if that's, you know, something else of the place, which I think is a really cool part about ghosts in general, that it's usually attached to a place. You know, unless it's a person, but I think that's more demons.
Yeah, good point.
And
that's interesting talking about ghost towns because
a
lot of the accounts, which is what makes it so hard to like research and try to find specifics, but there's a lot of accounts of these places. All the places I'm going to mention today, there are accounts just like this where people are like, I just feel like I'm being watched.
Yeah.
And because of the very interesting history with places like this, and you try to attach certain energies to a location.
Yeah.
You know, I have no answers about this. People that listen to the show know I'm a bit of a skeptic of these things, but I do believe in sort of these weird energies that can get connected with history and time and place. And it's a fascinating thing. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, ghosts to me go along with aliens and time travelers and they can kind of mesh. Like, I'm not sure a ghost is just the spirit of, you know, someone who died in the area or something. It could be something altogether different as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, the eyes watching you, that's creepy.
They definitely are. All right. So I'm going to dive in to some ghost towns here, and I'm going to start us off with a bit of a bang and might be the most famous or talked about ghost town in America. And that is Bodie, California. Have you ever been to Bodie?
I have not.
Okay, so I've been to Bodie once.
Cool.
Very, very, I couldn't stay long. And it's an amazing place because I love history and it feels like, I mentioned it earlier, like living museums. Like I just wandered around. I was like, oh, wow. Oh, the inside of here, you can still see a glass jar from 1901 or whatever. Like it's really fascinating. So I'll give you a little background first.
Cool.
Located in the Sierra Nevada mountains near the border of Nevada, Bodie existed because of California's gold rush, once a thriving... I can't talk today. There you go. Once a thriving mining hub, Bodie now lies in a state of what they call arrested decay, as it's preserved as a California State Historic Park.
It was established in 1859 by William Bodie after he found some gold in the area. And he had been tirelessly. I have a sore throat, so it's harder for me to talk today than normal. I apologize.
Well, tirelessly is a tough one.
It's a tough one.
Yeah, do your thing. Do your thing.
Tirelessly. he had been tirelessly searching for gold for about 10 years, and his luck had turned because he found it. However, he soon died in a blizzard, getting stuck in a blizzard. Poor guy. And so he missed the boom and bust of the town that took on his namesake. But gold in the area, there was a plenty. And in 1861, a mill was built, and then there was a massive influx of thousands of hopeful miners. And they all were licking their lips, dreaming of the yummy, yummy gold. And at its peak, the town boasted of a population of near 10,000 people, complete with saloons. Apparently, there were over 60 saloons in this place. Mm-hmm. There were brothels. There was a Chinatown. There were banks. It was definitely like, you know, a budding, kind of like a Deadwood sort of boom town of the time.
Yeah.
And there was an issue with it, though, which is Bodie is very remote. It's not easy to get in and out of. And because of that remoteness, there became a reputation for the town, I'll call it, for lawlessness. Gunfights became like very prominent in the area. And not just of folktale. They're very real, and there's a lot of accounts. There's newspaper articles. There are so many gunfights and murders. It was just a very, very dangerous place. And on that note, I'm going to have you read something, Adam.
Cool.
If you don't mind, let me find out which one it was.
Number one.
Number one. So this is from a newspaper article. I forgot to write down the date, but I think it's sometime in the 1860s. I want to say like 1865. So go ahead and read
it
when you're ready.
All right. Bodie, January 15th. Thomas H. Trelawer, who was murdered by Joseph DeRoche Friday morning, was buried today. The vigilantes committee were all over town last night searching for DeRoche. And went through several houses, as well as the jail, but he could not be found. Great indignation is felt against Deputy Sheriff Farnsworth, through whose negligence, or worse, the escape was effected, and vigilance committee were after him last night to make him produce the prisoner or make consequences. There is less excitement tonight. The coroner's jury have brought in a verdict finding that Trelawer came to his death at the hands of DeRoche. A willful, premeditated murder. Deputy Sheriff Kurgan is censured for gross neglect, and Deputy Sheriff Farnsworth is declared criminally careless. Farnsworth left town tonight to avoid being lynched.
Yeah, so
that's legit.
It's legit. I just wanted to, that doesn't tie into a specific ghost story or haunted story of the town, but I just wanted to give an example of like, it's super dangerous. There's murder.
Yeah.
Even the sheriffs, the law enforcement, they're all bad too.
These places are so trendy, you know, like the gold places, the oil places, and they're just trendy and dirty.
Trendy and dirty. And if you believe in ghosts, that is a nice foray into potentially some spirited haunts.
Absolutely. And those are places that people come, they live, they kill, they leave, you know?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Lots of ghost towns have similar, you know, backstories.
Yeah. In fact, do you mind reading number two as well?
Sure.
It's just a different story, but something similar.
Oh, got it. Yeah. Cold-blooded murder in Bodie. Felix Donnelly, who had had some previous difficulty with William Deegan, walked up to the ladder and shot him four times in the back. Deegan emptied his revolver, one shot taking effect in the abdomen of a bystander. Deegan had been concerned in many shooting affrays. For fear of lynching, Deegan was removed from Bodie.
It's a lot of fear of lynching, which is just terrifying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I'd get out of there too, but
yes. And that just goes to show you as well, like, you know, there is law enforcement in these places, but even then mob rule is still the rule of law in these places. And if people
Absolutely.
Are upset enough, you're just a goner.
Sure.
Yeah. So it's a,
pretty scary place. I'm glad I didn't live there back then.
Yes.
Yes. So definitely. Bodie the town had a lot of success and prosperity for a short period of time. As the 20th century neared, gold deposits started to dwindle. Miners started going elsewhere looking for other, you know, things to mine. And there were also two fires, 40 years apart, but there were still two fires, which kind of decimated the town. And 1932 was one of them. Then the earlier one was 1892. And by 1915, Bodie had declined to, I mean, there just weren't many people that lived there at all by 1915. Mm-hmm. And in 1962, it became a state park. So the state took over and tried to preserve it as best they can. And there's about 200 of its original buildings still standing.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really cool.
That's a
to
big
go
one.
To. Yeah, it is. But isn't Bannock like that too? I mean, Bannock seems.
No.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Not nearly that big. Yeah. I don't, as far as I recall and remember.
Cool.
Yeah.
So now for some creepy tales of Bodie. If you stroll through Bodie, the sensation, the most common occurrence, you and I already talked about it, but it's this feeling of being watched. And many people that visit there get this feeling, and they say that it kind of lingers with them. Some even claim it follows them home. And
great.
Then there's some ghost stories too. So among the most well-known apparitions is a ghost of an old woman in what's called the Gregory House. And sometimes she's seen knitting in a rocking chair. And there's also a common apparition of what's believed to be a Chinese maid who is said to haunt the town, particularly if you have kids. Like if you go with kids, the maid will apparently try to play with the kids or, you know, touch the kids or whatever. And in the town cemetery, visitors have also reported hearing disembodied giggles, which I think is one of the most terrifying sounds in the world, a disembodied giggle.
Yes.
Yes. And that it's supposedly the ghost of a young girl. And then there's a place called the Mendocini House, I think is what it's called. And this is one of the favorites of mine that I've just read about recently, which apparently if you visit the house, some people claim to smell Italian food and they'll try to trace the scent to be like, oh, is someone cooking around here? And as they do, they'll hear distant sounds of like a dinner party, but then nothing will actually be there.
That's original. Haunting by sense of smell.
Sense of smell.
Isn't you don't cool? get that one a lot.
Yeah.
You don't get that one a lot. Yeah.
Now, I can't remember when I went to Bodie. I want to say it was like 2009 or something like that. I just knew of it being a ghost town, meaning an abandoned town. I actually hadn't heard any of the ghost stories when I went. I did not feel anything. Again, I'm very skeptical of that stuff anyway, but I loved it. Like it was just such a fascinating place. And I do think that, you know, again, these places have a weird energy. There's a direct connection to history. It's right there. You can touch it. You can see it. You can step on it. So I'm not surprised at all that people sense very strange things.
Question,
like Bodie. Yeah.
Yeah. Question for you. Is it the type that there's people working there and it's kind of a place, or do you just walk in and you're the only person there kind of thing?
There are people that work there. It's been so long. I don't remember if there's like literally a hut with rangers there, but I do know that rangers work there. And just doing some research for this episode, I found an interview with a ranger on site. So I don't know if she's there all the time or was just sort of like doing a rounds and passing through.
Right.
But she claimed, she was like, I don't believe in ghosts, but there a couple things weird have happened to me here. And one of them is one of my first nights working here. I kept hearing someone call my name and no one was there. And it was like this very specific voice saying her name, not just like a weird wind, you know, whispery sound.
Interesting.
So there are people that work there. I don't know if they're there all day or if they.
But it's not one of those where there's like shops in every building and that they're selling things out of.
There are. Again, it's been so long since I could be wrong.
Sure.
So listeners, if you know, please feel free to correct me. Email me at astudyofstrange@gmail.com. But I think there was a place you could buy stuff. I just don't remember if it was a converted old building or if they had built something new. I just don't remember.
There's just some that are more of like, you know, a carnival, like Calico has more, you know, like there's
Calico
a thing
definitely does
in every place. And it's like, I'm not going to really be scared here, you know, but if you go, it sounds like this one's kind of in the middle where they had a little bit of that, but it's not some dead town in the middle of nowhere.
No. Yeah. And it's because it's part of a state park. I do think they promote it. They try to get people to come and visit. It was relatively busy when I was there too.
Oh, cool.
So it's not like you're not just, I wish it was just me wandering around.
Yeah.
There's other people that are camping somewhere nearby and families driving through and stuff. So there's a lot going on. But in terms of like just stories I've read of ghost towns being actually associated with some weird haunted stories, it's like the main one I come across. So yeah, if anybody gets a chance to go, definitely do it. All right, so I'm going to shift gears for the next one. I'm going to go to Alabama, to a town called Riverton. And this one is a little different because primarily you think of ghost towns in the States being associated with the gold rush or some other sort of mining rush type of situation. Riverton is different. It is a town that flooded because of a dam being built. And so it's now almost completely underwater. And I came across this town to the reason I wanted to include it is a better way to say it. I came across an article called The Strange Death of Maggie Williams.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Nice.
And it was flooded in 1938 when the Pickwick Dam was built on the Tennessee River. So let's see, where do I want to start this story, Adam? Let me see. I'll give some background and then I'll talk about Maggie Williams. That's the way I'll do this. So Prior to this town being flooded, it was an important and strategic point on the Tennessee River there during the Civil War. It was involved in numerous bombardments. It also had a few other names before it started to be called Riverton in the 1890s. And as the town was flooded, only one part of the town continued to be above water, and that is the cemetery. And I have actually toured the location on Google Maps using modern technology. Really beautiful today. You never really realized there's like a town that got flooded there. The cemetery is still there. There is a church that's like a modern church. It's, you know, new and nice, and there's homes along the street and stuff, but the cemetery is definitely still there. And that's where we can tie in the story of Maggie Williams. And the story goes like this. In 1909, Maggie Williams was 15. She was playing at a friend's house and she developed a headache. She went home soon after that, and that night or the next morning, she fell into a coma. And then very quickly, they pronounced her dead. She had no heartbeat, no blood pressure, all the typical things of a person, sadly, dying. Now, people who dressed the body claimed very quickly that she looked alive. And I don't think they didn't sort of modern, whatever they call it, when they preserve the body. They were different techniques back then, not quite as good as they are now. But people said that she looked asleep. She didn't look dead. No rigor mortis started to set in. And during the funeral of Maggie Williams, the coroner was so concerned that they may have messed up that he pricked her hand with a pin, but no blood came out. And then just also triple make sure he lit a match and held it under her hand and nothing happened.
Wow.
And so it's like, okay, no, this is just weird. She is dead. So they closed the coffin and they buried her. Later, I can't find out how much later, but later, hunters were in the area and it was at night and they saw this strange light moving around Maggie's grave. And as they approached to find out what this was, the light lifted up and sort of moved to the top of the headstone before disappearing. Allegedly, over the years, more and more people have seen this strange light moving around her grave. Some people have taken pictures of the grave and they claim to see the slight outline of a woman's face or a girl's face. And also, apparently, rose bushes won't grow on the ground. Now, I can't prove or disprove any of those alleged haunting things, but the story is real. I've looked up the gravesite. I've looked up historical record of her dying.
Wow.
You can find all these things. I'll provide links to it in the show notes as well. And so she's real. It's a real story. She died at 15. How real the lights and stuff are, that very well might just be sort of local legend.
Sure.
But it's just a fascinating story and one that I really, really enjoy. Sad for her, but yeah.
Yeah, I love the image of this dead teenager getting a match lit under her hand to see if she's really dead.
You know,
that's pretty creepy, beautiful image.
You got to think about that time period still. It's a little past sort of the peak of spiritualism and stuff in the country. But people were still, honestly, it was a slightly morbid time. This isn't long after people were taking photos of their dead relatives, like with them, and they dress them up and take a photo like they were still alive. And so it's just a fascinating time period in history. And the relationship with the deceased was very different than it is now. It was a little more open. So in as weird as it seems to have someone light a match, it kind of makes sense. Like, I don't think people would be like grossed out by it or anything. I think they'd be like, yeah, let's make sure she's really dead. Like, absolutely. Let's see if she flinches or whatever.
Absolutely. Yeah. Man. Well, and just a quick side note to the dancing lights. Have you done an episode on the Marfa lights, M-A-R-F-A, in Texas?
No, but here's the funny thing. Yeah. I have been reading about it since I started the podcast, and I have such a long episode outlined.
Oh boy.
And I've got to figure out a way to narrow it down because I'm tying it into other supposed lights around the world that are similar. Yeah. Gotcha. What were you going to say about the Marfa lights though?
I've been there and I investigated.
Really? Not to go on a tangent, but you got to tell me about it.
I saw the lights. I investigated. We'll talk.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. Well, now I'm very excited. Yeah. Great one. I literally have read like three books on the subject too.
Wow.
There's a guy that did a ton of investigation and he wrote a book, and then people apparently had a lot of opinions about his book. So he wrote a follow-up book.
Yeah, dude, it's a thing. People are passionate about it out there. It's a really cool town too, by the way. Very like worth going to.
Nice.
Great restaurants, like museums, art. It's like a very artistic kind of town, like
cool.
Right there in the middle of nowhere. It's very alien vibes.
Love it.
It's a fun place to camp. And then, there's a whole, every night there's a giant group on this rest stop where everybody gets together and you see them. I took a drive trying to figure it out, but we'll get into it.
Nice. Oh, I love it. Well, I'm so excited.
It's pretty cool. Yeah.
So in terms of Riverton, I couldn't find a lot of other ghost stories, but that Maggie Williams story was so fascinating. I had to cover it. I did find one other account that I can't find I can't find historical record for this, but there's allegedly another local legend that there was a family that lived in Riverton and the whole family was murdered by Union soldiers during the Civil War, except for a daughter and a young Native American girl that also lived with them. And the locals believe that those two escaped and went off into the mountains and the woods of the area and survived. And then decades later, people say that they see a young, quote unquote, quoting them, a young Indian girl and a young white girl sort of traversing through the hills and these sort of ghostly apparitions. So that's the only other sort of ghost story I could find for the area.
That's cool.
And that brings us to the third town we'll talk about today. And I might as well dive into Bannock, Montana, the place you have been to.
Yes.
How far away did you live growing up in Montana from Bannock?
Boy, Montana's huge, by the way. People don't understand how vast of that. But we were used to driving, a couple hours to get anywhere. And I believe it was I'm from the Northwest. I was Whitefish, Glacier National Park area. I believe it was near the end before on our eighth grade history trip before we had to turn around and go back. So it was pretty far. I believe it's maybe 4 hours. Or so, maybe three. Yeah.
Cool. I don't want to put you on the spot. So if you don't want to do this, you don't have to, but do you remember much about Bannock? Do you want to share like what you remember or know of the town?
I do. I remember, I may have gone again after that just because, being a fool and just loving horror and anything, exciting in Montana, there's, not a lot to do. So you create your excitement. I do remember that it's not like Bodie, whereas I feel like it's kind of more of a traditional small ghost town where it's like Deadwood, where there's just kind of one little main street, maybe a couple, there was like maybe another little street, but most of the stuff, the church, the bar, and the main stuff you hear about, the few three or four or five buildings are on kind of a main classic old Wild West little strip. And then I think there's a couple more things down below. It was gorgeous. It's kind of in the middle of nowhere is where in my head I remember.
Yeah.
And back then, and the last time I was there, it was no one was there. Like it was, maybe I can't remember if we had to drive through. It isn't a national park, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. That doesn't sound right for this. It literally is. Maybe you have to drive through a place where maybe back then sometimes, maybe because we were a school, there was a ranger there. But yeah. I guarantee there, maybe now Montana is getting a lot more attention in the last few years. So maybe there is someone, but it was a place where you'd probably just drive right by one of those little huts and nobody would be there. And you just go in and you'd be the only one there. And you walk in, you could walk into any building, walk around the town. So it was a very real version of, getting a ghost town experience where I've been to Calico and stuff, which I love. I love that too. It's fun. But Calico is more, it's like an event. You pay, you walk in, there's tons of people in every place. This is literally, it is a ghost town, as ghost towns get.
That's cool. Yeah. It looks from on just the things I've looked at online and stuff. It does look like there are a number of buildings and stuff, because some ghost towns are more just like rubble.
Sure.
Whereas like Bannock definitely still has some of the buildings and stuff.
Yes. And the things you said you liked about Bodie are there. They have, you can walk in and they kept it very much the way it was. I'm not sure if they've done any renovations since, but it feels like a place that is just was left and they've just preserved it in a way without changing anything.
Yeah.
Which is very creepy. And all the haunting stuff makes it much more, you feel those eyes,
nice.
For sure. Yeah.
I've got to find a new way to respond when I talk to people and we talk about something scary or weird and I'm like, nice.
No,
I got to be careful, but
we love it. Yeah. We love it. Yeah. I mean, it's definitely a part. I mean, that's the stuff, why I'm a horror filmmaker to this day. And I always will be inspired by the unknown and the darkness is those in Montana. That was some of the most exciting stuff we got, was to go to a place like that and to hear the stories and, tell each other the stories. And I mean, when we went, there's a story that you'll probably get into of a crying baby or something. And sure enough, we went there and we heard it, but it was my dumbass friend, Adam Pittman, went and hide and did it and, scared the shit out of all of us. But, those are the things that's horror filmmaking. Being creative anyway.
That's fun. So here, I'll give a little background for people. So the town was it was founded in 1862 after the discovery of gold. Mm-hmm. It quickly went from zero residents. It went from zero to 400 residents within just a few months, apparently. And then a few months after that, it was 5,000 people. And then it seems like a few months after that, it was 10,000 people. Like that growth just makes my head explode.
Yeah.
And Montana was not a state yet. And Montana was just a territory. And it was the first capital of the Montana Territory. Do you remember that at all?
I did not know that. Yeah. No, that's cool.
It did not last long. It was very short lived. But it was the first capital of the Montana Territory. And the town died out relatively quickly because the rich stuff began to, disappear, as happens. Mm-hmm. Also, it was known, similar to Bodie, it was known for violence and greed and murder. And I wrote this sentence, so I'll say it, even though I don't know if I like it. It may be a little too on the nose. But today, many believe the town is haunted. They even host a Halloween party on Halloween nowadays where people dress up and go hang out in Bodie for the night, which I would absolutely do.
Yeah, I've heard that's big.
So why do people claim it's haunted? Well, obviously, we've talked already today about the history of these kind of places, but also the outlaws in this place have made it quite, there's just notorious tales to tell. And the big one of this town that is real, very real story you can look up, is a guy named Henry Plummer. Does that name sound familiar? Do you remember hearing about this guy?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So the town was so lawless and dangerous that it needed a sheriff, obviously, and Henry Plummer got the job. However, he was a criminal himself.
Yes, and, of course.
Quickly turned into being an outlaw. He led a gang of road agents and thieves. They'd rob wagons. They were committing murder. No one knows quite how many people died at his hands or the hands of his gang, but some estimate it to be over 100. They also apparently were killing people from Bannock all the way south into Utah. So their crime spree was very wide. Traveled a lot of miles, I guess. And
yes.
Plummer and his men terrorized the region, and he soon was captured. And without trial, it's the Old West. He was just hung. He was hung and killed in town. Some of his men were lynched. And of course, that kind of horrifying connection to a city, you would imagine that people say he haunts the place. And that is, in fact, what they say he does, that his spirit is still wandering the streets of Bannock, Montana.
Yes.
And there's a specific connection I found around the General Store, which is one of the buildings that's still there. Apparently people, it's one of those places people hear disembodied voices, and a lot of people, I'd assume, I guess is a good way to put it, they assume it's Henry Plummer talking and stuff, and it's sort of his energy reliving the day that he's being dragged out and hung. I think he was killed nearby the General Store, mm-hmm. is why they say that. Another creepy account of the town is the Bassett House. I don't know if I'm saying that right. And this is a hot spot of paranormal activity, which involves, this is the ghost kids and probably where the baby crying comes in.
Yes.
The original owner of the home used it as a quarantine or like a children's hospital. So I think they had some births. They had sick babies. They had sick kids that they would take care of. We don't know how many kids died there, but probably a lot. It is the 19th century. Mm-hmm. So there's probably a lot of that. And so there's a lot of strange anomalies. And again, baby crying. Although I guess your friend isn't there right now. So if you visit and you hear babies crying, it's not Adam's friend anymore.
I don't know. He only lives like 3 hours away. He's
probably there making the noise. And then another spirit hanging around town is Dorothy Dunn. And this is the daughter of the hotel's manager there in the town. And she's often seen on the property in a blue dress, and quite often her voice is heard talking to people, specifically talking to children that are visiting the town. And so, like I do, I've tried to look up, like, okay, where are these stories coming from? What can I find out that's real? Dorothy Dunn's story, all these little things I did are definitely real. Like that house was used as a hospital or sort of doctor's office for children. Mm-hmm. Dorothy Dunn is very real. And there are a lot of newspaper articles you can actually look up and read about her. She died drowning near the town in 1916. And I will have you read one of the newspaper articles. So that's number 3 in that thing I said.
Got it.
When you're ready.
Dorothy Dunn, overcome in swimming hole near Bannock. Bravery of young boy saves 2 companions of Miss Dunn after hard struggle. A most deplorable accident occurred at 2 o'clock last Friday when Dorothy Dunn, a 16-year-old girl, met her death by drowning. And had it not been for the bravery of Smith Paddock, a 12-year-old boy, Ruth Warnick, and Fern Dunn would have met the same fate. The 3 girls had gone to Grasshopper Creek to wade and bathe in the creek. They waded out into a hole dug out by the old dredging boats, not realizing their danger. Suddenly, all 3 stepped off the ledge into 9 feet of water.
Yeah. So poor Dorothy Dunn died. They had her funeral. They, you know, announced it in all the papers, the local papers, and people turned out. Not only was her dad the manager of the hotel, but I think her uncle owned a ton of the property in the area. And this is after, like, the town was already sort of like a smaller population, but people were still there. It wasn't quite a ghost town yet. So it's a very sad story. So obviously her connection to this area runs deep. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why, or at least I can't find out why there's a blue dress, because people claim that they see this apparition wearing a blue dress in the hotel. I couldn't find reason for that. I don't think she was wearing a blue dress when she died. I think she was wearing sort of that early 20th century bathing suit, which is like a dark black dress probably.
Right.
But people claim this blue dress apparition, and it must be Dorothy since she sadly passed away in the area. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that is, that's yeah. Bannock. Yeah.
And I've heard that that children are the ones that often see that, which I always find interesting and creepy, and It makes sense because a lot of time you'll be with a kid and, you know, if we saw something, we might not even pay attention, but like, a child, they're going to speak up and
Yeah. And also people, claim that children are a little more open to these kinds of things.
Sure,
so they might,
absolutely.
They might see these things.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of interesting, now that you say, there's a lot of interesting children connections with all the Bannock stories because that other house with the disembodied voices in the hospital. Yeah. That's really interesting.
Well, also it's cool with where the blue dress comes in, like whether it's her or not is like when there's a specific detail like that, you know, like if somebody says it, if a kid says it, if it keeps coming up, there's something about that to me that, you know, lends more to the possibility that if two completely different people who have not been here and don't know each other, they see someone in a blue dress, that's a detail that's, you know, can help with the proof that
absolutely
they're seeing absolutely. Something similar. Couple fun things real quickly about our boy. What's his name? The
Plumber.
Plumber.
Yeah.
The name of his clan, I believe, was the Innocents, which I think is hilarious.
Yeah,
and really fucking cool. I mean, sorry, F bomb. But you could cut that out. I thought that was awesome. And they were, apparently in that town, and you know, you never know what's true or not, but that like 22 of them were like hung, like, or something crazy like that, which is a lot of death at the same time.
Yeah.
And then even crazier, and I don't know if this is true, but apparently, and they told us this when we were there, which as a kid in eighth grade was pretty awesome. And actually speaks to what we were all up to in Montana. Even back in the day, I would have never done this, but it speaks to the mischief. Anyway, his grave was robbed twice. And the second time, his head was taken and put in the bar. And it sat in the bar for a while because that was the place he loved. And I don't know why, but That's a story that I've that they
that
told
is
us.
That's a fascinating story, and honestly, I'm upset with myself for not having put that into today's episode.
We
I'm
got
so
you.
Glad
I got
you brought
you.
That up. Thank you so much for that. Support. That is amazing.
Would walk into a bar, and if you just saw a head back, just who knows what state it was in.
Like, I was about to say, I wonder what state it was in.
Yeah.
Did they like preserve it in formaldehyde or something, or was it just this decomposed skeletal remain, you know?
Everyone who's listening, their imagination can do the work. That's what's beautiful about it.
That's insane. Yeah, I didn't write a ton about his gang because there's so many different tales about how many of them were hung, how many of them were killed, how many, like, it's one of those very much those old West tales where it's like 150 of his friends were shot in the street, and it's 15 of them were.
We've heard so well in Montana, like even when beyond just being there, we've heard so many tales about him. He was he's definitely one of those guys.
Yes. Well, I'm going to shift gears because this next place has such a very different background and history to it.
Cool.
It is Wonder Valley, California. Have you ever heard of Wonder Valley?
No, but that sounds great.
Yeah. So this
that
is
sounds
I,
great.
I had to put it, you know, the algorithm that we live in an age of algorithms.
Yeah.
I can't make the title four of the most haunted ghost towns in one interesting one. I gotta say five of the most haunted ghost towns. This place, there are claims that it's haunted, but I don't have many details about why, but it's so, I'm fascinated by the story and I don't even know why. So I had to put it on the list. Wonder Valley is in the Mojave Desert, and the Mojave is full of odd places, odd communities, odd people, and one such place is Wonder Valley. Now, unlike Bodie and Bannock, which succumbed to the gold rush, or the boom and bust of the gold rush, I should say, Wonder Valley is a modern ghost town. Its story, in short, is that of a budding community that was quickly abandoned in the middle of the 20th century. And what happened in this once promising town, and what ghost might still haunt in its forgotten homesteads? In the 1950s, the United States government sought to encourage homesteading and land development in California's high desert. Through the Small Tract Act, that is really hard to say, Small Tract Act of 1938, individuals could claim 5-acre plots of land for free as long as they promised to improve the land by building a structure.
And this prompted a rush of hopeful settlers, which were primarily artists and veterans, retirees. I'll call them just hippies before the hippie movement. And they all moved into this area to claim land and build homes. And initially, the community seemed full of promise. There were simple cabins, often not larger than a single room. These cabins affectionately were called jackrabbit homesteads because there were a lot of jackrabbits in the area. And by the 1960s, Wonder Valley had a small but vibrant community full of individuals who cherished solitude. Man, talking today is tough. You're on a good episode. You get to hear me mess up a lot. They wanted their independence in this town, and they wanted to live in the beauty of the desert. And yeah, I just, you know, it's these hippies right before the peak of the hippie movement.
Yes.
And have you ever spent much time in sort of the desert of California, Nevada?
I love it. And honestly, being from the woods of Montana, it's similar in the fact of, it's a brutal place to, like, the weather can be brutal. Mm-hmm. You are kind of in the middle of nowhere, and very interesting folks end up out in those places.
the most interesting folks I've ever come across in my entire life are in desert communities in this area. And it's weird. It's this weird, like, you think, oh, hippies, free love hippies, but then they also carry AK-47.
Yes.
And they'll shoot you if you get on their property. And
there's a survival aspect. There's a, in Montana, I always say it's kind of the furthest north people were trying to get away from things before having, I lived an hour south of the Montana border. So a lot of these places are places where people are going to that don't necessarily want to abide by the normal rules.
Absolutely. Yeah. And there's, like, I've been to, it's always work. That's like, that's when I travel the most. And it's like film projects where we're filming and doing documentary stuff. And it'll be places where it's like a nudist colony that's literally not on the map, and there's no registration for it, but yet people live there full time. And
totally.
It's some crazy, crazy people. And it's honestly, it's just very fascinating, which is probably why I wanted to do this story.
Yes.
And so what happened to Wonder Valley is that this novelty of isolation began to wear off within, like, the first 10 years of it being settled, because it is very harsh. It is very hard to live in the middle of the desert with limited resources and economic hardship. And so people started to move away. And by the 70s, there were very few people left. And then by the 80s, essentially the homesteads had been abandoned, and it's just left there. And the ghost town that remains today is one of, I'm going to call it contrasts. I wrote down in my notes, like, rows of cabins, deserted cabins, and then stunning beauty behind it. So it's like decomposing homes and the beauty of the Mojave landscape. And the reason I put it on this list is, people do visit it. You know, there are people that travel and want to go to all these odd places in the desert. And when they go, it's primarily voices in the wind is what I kept reading about. So people will be wandering around these old homesteads, wind will blow, and they'll start to hear their name or words or people try, which sounds like people talking. And they'll get freaked out and get that feeling of being watched, like we've talked about so many times today. Mm-hmm. And those are the main stories of this odd place of Wonder Valley, California.
The hills have eyes.
Oh, it's very different. Have eyes. Yeah.
And the wind really does whip in those places. And that's a great one, because you can hear, you know, inside of the wind, if you convince yourself, you can hear a lot.
Yeah, you can.
That's really
and the wind is. I'm always fascinated with the wind, because it can create what you think are voices, and that's not to just completely say I'm debunking all these haunted stories of the town.
Sure, sure.
It's just to say that the wind does play really interesting tricks on your mind, especially in the desert.
Yeah,
and it's super creepy. It's super creepy.
That's a great one. I need to check that town out.
Yeah.
For sure.
No, I should have looked up. Yeah, I should have looked up how far away it is from us in LA. I don't think it's that terrible of a drive.
Yeah, the Mojave. It's I mean, there's so much interesting. That's an interesting road trip. Cool.
All right. So my last one today, our fifth haunted town. I'm doing this for you. I picked another Montana town I actually don't know much about. Garnett, Montana.
Ooh, I've heard the name. Okay. I've heard the name.
All right. I just came across this, just being like, I should find another Montana town for Adam.
Cool.
So Garnett, Montana, there are many remaining structures and people. There aren't many remaining people. There's people visiting is what I wrote. Garnett is in the mountains of Granite County, Montana.
Okay.
Do you know where that is?
Boy, I'm looking.
I looked it up yesterday, and now I don't remember exactly where. Southwest. Is it Southwest?
It is. Yeah, no, it's right kind of where I'm from, actually.
Oh, nice, nice.
Yeah, it's in the north, kind of northwest, right outside the Flathead Reservation, which is where I'm from.
Sweet.
Wow.
So it lies in a place called First Chance Gulch. And it's an interesting town because from what I can tell, it wasn't necessarily a boom town from the gold rush. It was more of a town that started to develop because of people in surrounding areas finding minerals and gold. And this was like a central place that they would go to because it had, let me see, what was it called? It was a machine that would like grind the stone and stuff. So people would come there and get their minerals processed. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I don't know the right term. I'm not a miner, so I apologize. But I think everybody kind of follows my idea. It's Stamp Mill. And that was built in 1895. And so a little town popped up with that stamp mill in 1897, and that is Garnett, Montana. In 1898, the population was around 1,000. By 1900, though, it was only 300 people. So this town quickly popped up with a population and then very quickly diminished in size. But the town became a ghost town twice. So it essentially, right after 1900, became a ghost town. And then in 1934, gold prices rose. And miners returned to this area because they wanted to try to harvest more gold out of the ground. And then World War II happened, and the cost of mining increased because of all that. So by 1940, the town was a bust again. So it became a ghost town twice, which is incredibly fascinating.
That's cool.
People come and visit. Apparently, thousands of visitors come to, you know, like you do at ghost towns. You come and visit. You want to check it out and see the old places. And with that comes ghost stories. And one of the ones I found here is that Kelly's Saloon there, which was built in 1898. It was one of the most popular saloons out of the handful that were built in the town. It was also a brothel. And if you stay after dark, visitors claim that you can hear music and the sound of like clinking glasses and saloon drinkers laughing and talking at the bar. There's also the Wells Hotel. I don't believe this is still standing. I think it's partly still standing. And it's believed that a lot of guests died in this hotel, and light from the windows can be seen at night, and sometimes an apparitional figure standing in the window. And then when people go up, there's no one there. One of the best parts about this is there are cabins for rent in Garnett, Montana.
Yes.
So if you have the courage to stay there, I would absolutely do it. You can go and stay in town. So that is my last.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I totally know where this is. It's just west of Missoula, which is where University of Montana is. Cool town. There's great concerts there in the summer and stuff. So if you want to check that out and then go over to Garnett, I remember now seeing there's a off the highway there, Highway 90, I believe, or the one that goes to Sealy Lake. I don't know what it's called, but there's definitely signs. It's a little more like Calico, where it's a little more of
a touristy
kind of. I mean, as far as I could tell from the sign, and then that they have places you can stay, which is really cool. I now remember seeing the sign and wanting to go, but I don't think I have ever gone.
That's really cool. And if listeners, if anybody has a ghost town you want me to cover that I didn't, or one you think is way more haunted, or even one you've been to that you've experienced something, please email me, astudyofstrange@gmail.com. We'll do a follow-up I'm even happy to have someone come on to talk about their experience in these places. Like I've said too many times today, I'm so fascinated with ghost towns, and I'm glad I found a way to do it. I typically do deep dives, but I was like, no, I'll do a listicle about ghost towns because I love ghost towns and I want to talk about them and visit them all. So, yeah,
and that's such a fun thing because you put a number of them in there and people listening could go, that one's near me. Let's go check it out.
Absolutely. Yeah, you should. They're really worth it, whether you're into spooky things or not, just from a historical perspective.
Absolutely.
I love going to them, and I've been to so many of them in California that I'm always fascinated. I'm the nerdy guy wandering around being like, oh my God, look at that. That's the original wall from 1872. And just geeking out about little things like that.
Absolutely.
But yeah, do you know of any, are there any ghost towns you've been to that I didn't mention? They don't have to be haunted, but you know.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Calico, we've mentioned a couple times, which is out in the desert, and it's a super fun time. And it's very commercialized, but it's really fun.
Is Calico the one that someone bought it and they've been restoring it? Like one guy that like lives out
maybe.
There in Calico?
Maybe. I mean, it's an attraction, you know, and it's pretty big. And you pay to go in and you walk up and down the street, but it's really cool. Very, very, very fun. And they keep things real nice and clean there. And they apparently, I asked if they do a Halloween like time scary version and they said, yeah. So, that could be really interesting. And they do have little huts that you can rent and stay in nearby and camping nearby, which is cool. And then in Montana, there's a couple, Virginia City and Nevada City are right next to each other. And they're a little more commercial, but Nevada City is actually they've moved a lot of old buildings there. You would love it. Like they've restored and they have tons of old buildings. Not all of them were just there. So it's less like a ghost town and more like a historical monument. They've shot movies there, old Westerns and stuff. And then Virginia City nearby is it's a little less commercialized than Nevada City, but there's like a cool old bar there and stuff. It's a good time. Very interesting. Bannock is the main creepy one that I know of.
Very cool. Well, thank you so much for joining me today, Adam.
Of course.
Super fun.
Yeah. Thank you.
I want to talk to you about the Marfa lights. So maybe I'll circle back to that and we'll have to do an episode on the Marfa lights and I'll dive into my research again on that.
Well, either way, I'll give you my lowdown.
Please do. Yeah. That's awesome. And before you go, do you mind sharing where people might find your work, where people want to find you? Is there anything you want to, promote or push or send people towards before you go?
Oh yeah. I mean, Instagram, it's stillwell_Adam. Or you could just type in Adam Stillwell. He'd probably pop up. Twitter, which I barely use, is you can type my name in and see if I pop up. But it's pretty much Instagram. And then, like I said before, if you want to see the free fall, it's on Disney Plus.
Well, thank you again. I'll talk to you soon.
Awesome. Thanks, brother.
Thank you for joining A Study of Strange. Support the show by subscribing wherever you listen to podcasts and get access to additional mysterious, strange content by subscribing to our Substack, which you can find on our website, astudyofstrange.com, in the support tab. Thank you again, and good night.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.